Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
85 years since Kristallnacht, 1938. 79 years since the Warsaw Uprising, 78 years, the end of the Second War, and the beginning of the memory of Holocaust Memorial Day. That is McCotter, American Greatness is with me, and we're joined, very pleased to be joined by Malcolm Hoenlein, returned from the holidays, to remind everyone the significance of Holocaust Memorial Day, not just the dates I mentioned, but so much more of the 20th century. Malcolm, a good evening to you. What is it you want to guide to the audience to understand about this day 24 hours from now?
This is very important commemoration, annual commemoration. So it's good to be with you and to discuss this. And you will recall our participation in the March of the Living, which goes from the Auschwitz concentration camp to the Birkenau extermination facilities. And It is a remarkable demonstration where more than 10,000 young people from all over the world come and march, because it's so important at a time of rising anti-Semitism and Holocaust denial to remind people of the reality. There are less than 150,000 Holocaust survivors living in Israel now, almost under 500 of whom celebrated their 100th birthdays. And the number diminishes every year. So it's important for us to educate, to remember. If we want to hope to prevent it in the future, we must learn the lessons of the past. And unfortunately, these days, it seems that those lessons are being lost. But one of the people who made a real difference was a German artist named Günter Demnig, who conceived the idea of setting little plaques. They're called Stumpelstones, stumbling stones, but they're just a plaque with the name of individual Jews who were killed, that were placed outside of the families' homes in Germany, in the cities, where in the places where they live, as a reminder to personalize the 6 million number. These numbers are so big, people, you know, can't relate to it. But when they see an individual family memorialized, or individuals outside of their very homes where they live, and this, there are Roma amongst them, and Sinti, and some disabled dissidents who were also killed, who are memorialized in a similar way. There are more than 100,000 of them already up in Germany, but also in some of the other countries in Europe, where righteous people who want to make sure the lesson isn't lost.
That is?
Malcolm, Iran has embarked upon a new charm offensive. Is it working?
It seems to be working, and I think it should be of concern to everyone that Iran, without paying any price, making any change, not in its domestic situation, where 80% of the people want to see a dramatic change in the internal situation and don't trust their government, are oppressed. Where we see the United Nations decrying the fact that the executions are surging in Iran, including people who participated in the protests, and by a vote of 47. Of the 47 members, 23 who supported and 16 abstained, they talked about the weaponization of human rights, and they talked about the evil that is being practiced, where young people, even those under 16, are being arrested and charged, and we see the intimidation against those who speak out. The demonstrations continue, that they get very little coverage, and they've certainly been diminished. But the charges, including not only murder and imprisonment, torture, sexual violence, other things, I mean, real crimes against humanity. And yet Iran is being increasingly accepted without paying any price. And we see them going to Saudi Arabia. We see the UAE, a new ambassador appointed to the UAE by Iran. We see the visits that are taking place, as well as with the Syria being accepted again by the Arab League and others. Iran has not changed any of its activities. It's continuing to recruit. Now they're recruiting Israeli Arabs to carry out terrorist attacks. We know that they are involved in intense cyber attacks against banks, against the water installations in Israel, against all sorts of facilities. That the United States, responding to what's happening, has deployed a missile carrying submarine to the Gulf, as well as keeping the Herbert Walker Bush aircraft carrier in place. We saw that the Florida, which is the attack land attack cruise missiles carrying boat, transited the Suez Canal on Friday. So this is, I think, a reflection of the concern also that how Israeli ships and others were told to turn off their transponders in the area because of Iranian aggression against commercial shipping. We see that Iran-backed militias are threatening more and more drone attacks against Israel and against others, including U.S. Forces, where they have based these and shown videos of the militia, the al-Nujaba militia in Iraq, funded and run by Iran, and interestingly enough, put Hebrew subtitles so that the message wouldn't be lost on Israelis of the potential attack. So Iran is escalating its support for Hamas, Hezbollah, the Houthis across the board. And while we may have these superficial changes right now, these are not going to be lasting. And we see quite the opposite, that they are exploiting the current situation, not only exporting more oil, their own in Russia, but they are exploiting the aid missions to Syria to include weapon shipments in a hope that Israel won't discover them, and to take other actions to escalate the violence and the tensions in the region while they're putting on this show, working with Russia and China now to be more accepted in the region, especially in Saudi Arabia. The one interesting development that I think will be get a lot of attention in the coming days is the visit of the son of the last Shah, Reza Pahlavi, to Israel. He wants to participate in Holocaust memorial services. He's accompanied by a number of Iranian dissidents who have left Iran over the years and are working with him. I think it's a demonstrative act, and the fact that he's doing it in such a public way is also of great interest.
Malcolm, you mentioned Iran, the depredations in the region, all told right now. You also tell me that Iran is reaching into Israel. This isn't about your adversaries in Syria and Lebanon. These are Israeli Arabs. Over the last few years, there have been several moments where the question is raised, how do we deal with people who are Israeli citizens at the same time are sympathetic to Israel's enemies? Is there an answer?
There is really no answer to it. The vast majority of Palestinians do not support those efforts. We have to remember that. But there is a sufficient effort of recruitment that's being done by Iran directly and through Hamas and Hezbollah, through other efforts to recruit them. In this case, they were to smuggle weapons into the West Bank to be used in terror attacks. There's been an upsurge in these attempts. I think the security agency indicated that they prevented 200 this year already. And we see that other countries are concerned, even Saudi Arabia, which is clamping down on the aid that it's giving in the region in response to both the changing situation, but also because they see how the misuse of this, and particularly by the Palestinian authorities, they're tired of the doling out endless funds to certain countries, including Pakistan and Lebanon and Egypt, but the mostly to the PA. And we see that the PA is doing virtually nothing to counter these efforts, if anything, maybe to enhance it. They're in fact running a musical, which is really vicious. It's almost Nazi-like in its content. And they are also blocking human rights groups, dismantling some and preventing others from engaging in their activities, including advocating the rights of Palestinian prisoners in PA jails. So it's the UK, by the way, is also clamping down on the charities in Gaza because they all see that this misuse, where it's being used to further inculcate and incite youth in Gaza and in the West Bank to violence and to hatred.
That is.
Malcolm, what is the current status of relations between Saudi Arabia and Hamas?
So this is a very disturbing development that we see that the leaders of Hamas are supposed to be coming to Saudi Arabia in the coming days, including Haniyeh and others. These are the top delegations. They are coming to talk about the renewal of relationships, which have been broken down for many years. Hamas is obviously a threat as well to Saudi Arabia and to the stability of the region. They're going to be visiting Mecca, and other steps are going to be taken. But the relationship has been very cold since they overthrew the PA and took over Gaza. The Saudis arrested dozens of Hamas leaked operatives in, I think, 2 years ago or so, because they were threatening the kingdom's rule. And now we know that Saudi Arabia has released many of the detainees, including some senior members like al-Khadari, who was freed this past October. So they want these steps are not being taken because they want it as a cover to develop relationships with Israel, as some thought. This is part of the effort for them to reduce the threats to them, and especially the threats that come from the Houthis in Yemen. And we're not seeing other advances in terms of the Saudi-Israel relationships, although the overflights are still being permitted.
Malcolm, the King of Saudi Arabia visiting Tehran, if it happens, that's a spectacular moment. Who will take advantage of that?
I will give you somewhat of a speculative answer, which worries me very much. And that is, I think that we're seeing a resurgence of the Muslim Brotherhood influence and the extremist influence within the Saudi regime. I think this is counter to MBS and KBS. I don't think that they are as much of decision makers as they were. I think that their vision was somewhat different in regard to Iran, Hamas, these other developments that we are talking about. So we might see Najaf emerge, we might see others. The king is not likely to go, but it's possible that he would. He might send MBS and KBS to visit instead. And I doubt that Khamenei has the physical ability to go, but he will be strongly motivated with the promise of a visit to Mecca and Medina. So it is very disturbing. I think a lot of it has to do with perceptions of American weakness, anger at America, you know, that they've cut back production again by another million barrels in March. They are, this is in addition to the previous cuts, contrary to America's request that they step up production. There is a delegation from the United States visiting Saudi Arabia right now as we speak, and they are top people, including Brett McGurk, who's a very capable senior U.S. official, and they are talking about all the issues, including the production and the rise in global oil prices and some of the other steps that are happening. But as you remember, President Biden visited Saudi Arabia last July, and there seemed to be progress. But since then, it's reversed. In October, the tensions escalated when the Saudis led the move to decrease global oil production. So the delegation, which is there now, is underscoring U.S. support for Saudi Arabia against threats from Yemen and elsewhere. The question is how credible they will seem to the Saudi leadership and what steps can derive from the visit to help restabilize the relationship.
Malcolm Hoenlein, Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. Big movement in the Middle East, like tectonic blocks moving around in the ocean. That is Mekatar, American Greatness. Dusty One next. I'm John Batchelor. This is CBS Eye on the World.
Look.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.